This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 23, 2024, the fourth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
If we have known according to the flesh, but now we know Christ so no longer, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those words from St. Paul's sacred reading today sound very churchy in regular terms. Don't necessarily think you know Jesus by just what you think about him, but you need to know Jesus as he's revealed himself. St. Paul says this because he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt what it's like to think you know Jesus and be confronted with something completely different. Saul of Tarsus, St. Paul, he knows Jesus. Jesus the heretic. Jesus the rabble-rouser. Jesus who was executed, rightfully so, good for him. And now anybody who mentions his name needs to be taken before tribunals and sometimes stoned to death. That's what we should do. This is Jesus. And then all of a sudden, there's the road to Damascus. And St. Paul meets Jesus for who he really is. Jesus reveals himself to Saul of Tarsus. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you persecute. Initially, Saul of Tarsus, who are you, Lord? He knows beyond a shadow of a doubt. Jesus hasn't said a word yet. This is what happens when Jesus reveals himself. We need to work with Jesus' revelation of himself and not what we think about Jesus. We live in a day and age where a lot of you hear terms like, my God is this, and my God is that, my God would never do that. Exactly correct. Your God, the one you made up in your own mind. We call that an idol. God is who God has presented himself to be. We cannot fall into this trap where he is presented differently. There's a lot of bad stuff that has gone on in the past 60 years or so in Jesus, things about him being not denied, but just ignored. We don't say that anymore. We don't pray like that anymore. We don't kneel down him. We don't receive Jesus Christ kneeling on our tongues. No, we can put him in our grubby mitts. Yeah, that's what's happened when you start dumbing down, so to speak, what we should understand about Jesus. It's tremendously problematic. Jesus should be a source of comfort. God, the Blessed Trinity, should be such a source of solace for us. He should be such an anchor point for us in our lives because we're on his side. And is it really any benefit to be on the side of someone who's like the cosmic Santa Claus who just sits up there wringing his hands because people do what he doesn't want them to do and he just waits up there, you know, to appease himself by giving you everything you ask for? Is that the God that you want to be on his side? What kind of God is that? Could do anything for you? God, as he's presented himself, is presented in the traditional prayers of the Mass, like he is today, for instance. All the propers of the Mass. He is our rock. He is our defender. He is our deliverer. He makes our enemies flee from us. He is our rock, our salvation. This is the one I want to be on his side. It's like, you know, if you're being bullied, like we are, by Satan and his demons, to have some big guy on your side that can beat them up. That's the deal. This is what we want. I want God who the angel looked out and said, who is this King of Glory? He is the King of Glory, strong, mighty in battle. Oh, no, we don't want to say, that sounds too military. Because Jesus is gracious and merciful. Indeed, he is. He died on the cross for us. I mean, we get that. But he's also just and righteous. And we need to know that part, too, because that's the Jesus I want to be on his side. This, I know a lot of people who are gracious and merciful to other people. I want somebody who's righteous and just also. And that's who Jesus is. That's who God is. So, I mean, our prayers in the Mass even say that. The first reading today makes my point so, so pointedly. The first reading today, if you'll look in your bulletins, Job chapter 38, verse 1, and then verses 8 through 11. Okay, that's 11 verses. How come I'm only hearing 5? Yeah, that in and of itself should make you go, huh, that's why I always say, look at your bulletin before it, because I'm probably going to go there, all right? You read the first reading today, best case scenario, if you're paying attention, which I know everybody in here does, I'm thinking more generally. If you're not paying attention to the first reading, blah, blah, blah about Job, yeah, but thus saith the Lord, praise be thee, O Christ. But we who pay attention to things like that, best case scenario, the first reading is awkward. It's like, what? That's best case scenario. If you're really paying attention, you say, that sounds really kind of silly. The first verse. And God answered Job out of a whirlwind. Whirlwind, a tornado. Okay, that's what a whirlwind is. It's a tornado. God answered. Why is God in a tornado? What is going on with that? And it says, and he answered Job. And then the next thing we hear are questions. Okay, did he ask questions of Job? Or did he answer Job? And if he answered Job, like it says, what was the question? I mean, it's the first verse, starts out, okay, I don't know why he's in a whirlwind. I don't know what question was asked that he's answering. And then all of a sudden, we just get into a bunch of questions. So did he answer? Did he ask questions? This should be a problem for us, right? I mean, if you're paying attention, it should be a problem. The content. I don't have to get into the whole Job thing. Everybody gets that. All right? Everybody knows a story about Job. All right? Job has been crushed. Okay, the man is a frazzle. He's discouraged. You know, he thinks he's going to die. His friends think, you know. But what's going on here in context is Job and his three friends are sitting around talking about Job's condition. And basically, we know from the beginning of Job that Job's condition is something that God allowed because he wanted to prove something to Satan. But Job's friends show up and they start bantering back and forth with Job. Oh, man, you must have done something. I'm putting it in a nutshell, of course. Oh, you must have messed up bad, dude, for having God do this stuff to you. I mean, you're a wreck. I haven't ever done anything wrong. I'm good with God. He's treating me bad, you know, and all that. I don't know why. Oh, yeah, you must have done something. They're just going back and forth. They're all discussing God's will. They're discussing God's will, and they don't know one thing about it. They don't know how it started. They don't know what the context was of God's thing with Satan and everything like that. They just go from their human perception of things and what they know about God, and they're going back and forth. Well, he's omniscient and omnipresent, so he gets, you know, what they're talking about, and he's over it. He's over it. And he shows up in a tornado, because, I mean, if you do that, people usually pay attention to the tornado. I mean, like right now, you know, we're doing this, but if your phones all went off and everything, oh, there's a tornado coming down Edgewater Drive. There's not a person in this place who would not be thinking about the tornado. Some would run, some would do the right thing, get down on their faces and pray to God that it passes over us. That's what would be going on. But everybody would be focused on what? The tornado. All right? So when God presents himself like that, he's like, yeah. So, you know, the four guys who have been bantering back and forth about it as well, they're all like, tornadoes are scary enough, but when God starts speaking to you out of the tornado, that jacks it up tremendously. So, you know, this is the context of what's going on. So, you know, with that being said, God's in a tornado, he's speaking. What I talked about before, I pointed out, is the difference between the modernist presentation of things and the Catholic presentation of things. I have a modernist commentary at the house about the book of Job, which generally I don't pay attention to them, but every now and then they get so modernist, I'll actually like highlight it and go, oh, I need to use that in the future. And I use it every time I talk about Job, and this will generally come up. This is a modernist commentator. He's talking about God is speaking out of a tornado to Job. I quote, "At no time does God try to humiliate Job. He's simply encouraging him to accept the teaching he is going to offer." I'm like, dude, newsflash, not to embarrass yourself, but before you comment on a passage of scripture, you might try reading it. Because that's the opposite of what's going on. God never humiliates the modernist. God never humiliates anybody. Job is getting humbled as if you would not. And he's the guy who's dealing with this bad stuff. God knows. He knows what's going on with him. The verses that we miss, God does answer Job. What is he answering? The bantering back and forth with the four friends. Shows up in the tornado, and he does answer Job. The first words out of God's mouth. "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" If you read that in the Hebrew, the word counsel is my will. So basically, it's who is talking about my will who knows nothing about it? He's not humiliating. He doesn't even use his name. He's talking to Job. He doesn't even use his name. Who is this that's discussing my will that has no knowledge of my will? You have no idea what's going on. Okay, that's pretty well put. The other three guys, it is what I can remember. I think of like scenarios when I was a kid with my sister, and we would both get in trouble, but I was the one who like was the catalyst of the whole thing. Like when my dad, my sister would say to me, "You shush up," and then he'd get on me. You know, that's what God's doing with Job. His three friends are like, "You all need to shut up. You, my boy, you who are the one I said, behold my servant Job. You who's supposed to have faith, you're the one mouthing too. I expect it from them. I don't expect it from you." And then the next verse is, "Gird up your loins like a man. I'm going to ask you questions. You will answer me." That's humbling. That's where we get the word humility. So again, that's why I bash that company. And yeah, I'm not bashing. I'm bashing that guy. He's called doctor. He's got a bunch of letters at the end of his name, and it doesn't even, it's like he didn't even read the context or the passage itself. One of my good commentaries says about God in the tornado, he said, "This awful appearance imposed silence on all." Yeah, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. God shows up and he starts. For the next five chapters, I am not misspeaking. Oh, you mean the next five verses? No, the next five chapters of the book of Job is God hammering him with questions. Hammering him. Everybody knows God can smite us and cast us into hell and all that other stuff. This is not what this is about. This is about faith. This is about, I presented you to Satan as a pinnacle of faith, and now you're acting like I don't know what I'm doing, or I can't protect you and get you through this. That's what you're acting like. That's why you're mouthing. So, you want to mouth? You want to act like you know what's going on here? Let me ask you some questions about what's going on. For five chapters, and I'm putting this all in a nutshell. Where were you when I created everything? Were you there? You know your way around the universe? I mean, you know, like the spit of land in which you were born and raised. The universe. Do you know how to get around the universe, Job? Do you know how it operates? Do you know all the integral stuff that's going on, the stars? You know that stuff, Job. And here, let's just hypothetically say you might. Okay, if you knew all these things and then you tried to run things, who are you that anybody would listen to you? I mean, that's where that going back to, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who and what, after all, are you, Job, that you should even open your mouth about it? This is what's going on here. Oh yeah, Job is being humbled, humiliated. This is what we need to understand. This is God for real. And he says, well, man, I'm glad I'm not Job. We will be Job sometime. He can't help it. There are things in life, name your poison, sickness, death, losing jobs, rebellious kids, name whatever. I have no control over this. I can't do a thing about it. I'm overwhelmed. Oh, I'm going to stop going to church. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. There is going to be a time, and there will probably be several in each and every person's life, where you feel this way, and you just got to step back and let God be God. That's part of faith. You need to say, I don't know what's going on. It seems like I want to crawl up and die, but obviously you're God. You know what you're doing. You can get me through this. Help me out. That's faith. And this is what this is all about. He's confronting Job with his faith faltering. Job and Job alone. Gird up your loins like a man. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to test you, Job. The next time you think that you're going to, you know, question what God's doing, because what are you doing when you do that? It's not just about you, because it sounds so churchy. You're not submitting to his will. You're basically looking at God and say he doesn't know what he's doing. Or he's not able to help you out through this stuff. That's what you're doing. You're accusing God when you mouth what he's got going on in your life. If you do that, okay, you want to mouth? Okay, let me see if you're worthy of mouthing or not. And then you get the exam. God could have stopped. I said five chapters. God could have stopped in like five questions because Job ain't saying a word. Why? He got not an answer for one. He didn't even go there. In those five chapters, Job speaks like four or five times. And every time he speaks, it's not, well, here, God, let me do it. Every single time he opens his mouth, he says, I have spoken inconsiderately. I lay my hand upon my mouth. That's a churchy way to say, I'm going to shut up. Why? Because like God's examining him, and he could have stopped at five questions because Job has flunked miserably. I usually try to throw out like an illustration and say, can you imagine? I don't have to imagine. I know what it's like to fail miserably. When I was in seminary, kids, don't let this happen to you in your schoolwork. When I was in seminary, I was kind of pushing the limits of my course load. Like one semester, I was like, oh, I just got by on that. You know, I was mediocre, but you know, I think I could take one more class. Oh, I'll take that class because I read about it and I know that professor. He's supposed to be hard, but your exam's 100% of your grade. Final exam's 100% of your grade. No quizzes. No test in the back, no research paper. Awesome. Final exam. I walked in that room and opened that envelope. I'm serious. I was like, I'm going to be seeing this again. Miserable fact. Yeah. Honestly, the only positive thing, every cloud has a silver lining. I bombed that so bad because usually if you like fail like by 2 or 3 points, you're like, if I had answered one more question right, if I had read into that one, you know, you go, I failed so miserably, I didn't feel bad about it. I got like a 45 on this thing. I mean, it was ridiculous. I have $750. I think I'll throw it out in the street. Yeah, live and learn, right? So I know what it's like to fail miserably. Miserably, but at least I got a 45. Job's getting like a zero on this. Okay? And that's what happens when you question God. And I do not bash everything that's written after the 1970s. There's a book that came out a couple of years ago, and the writer actually said that he talks about Job. He says, to anyone who proposes to examine God in a courtroom constructed by his own intelligence, God counters, he who argues with God, let him answer. You want to mouth what I'm doing? Why could this be going on? Why? And we don't have any answers for this. But I mean, the active part in that is when we, and this is what everybody does, they examine God in the courtroom constructed in their own intellect. This is that my God thing. My God is this. My God is that. You don't know him. I mean, not a person on the face of this planet is going to know him until we get to the other side. And even when you get to the other side, you're not ever going to know him completely. He's God, we're not. But you can get closer to him and at least embrace him for who he says he is in the scriptures. That's why he's given us the scriptures, to reveal himself to us. Not in part, but he tells us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I mean, people in our day and age, they think they got all God. You know, they'll usually acquiesce that Old Testament God who's really mean and smites people and scary. But now we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Really? The Jesus that formed a whip and drove the money changers from the temple? That one? Or the one who says in 2 Thessalonians that when he comes back, he's going to burn up everybody who doesn't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? Nuh-uh, everybody's a child of God. That sounds nice. That's not what it says. He's going to burn up everybody who doesn't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, go home and read it. See, that's why I do things like this. I want you to go home and read that stuff. No, it doesn't say that. Go home and read. Well, the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit who floats around, you know, and he just gives you gifts and fruits and all that. We love that, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that Holy Spirit who occasionally, if you lie to him, he'll kill you. Ananias and Sapphira, book of Acts. Yeah, they lie to the Holy Spirit, and he kills them for lying. Wow, that's the Holy Spirit. What? How do we know? Where are you? I've never heard that. Just because you never heard it means that you have a God that has been kind of constructed in your own mind. You know, you might know real things about God, but you don't know everything about God that he's revealed about himself. This is why he does what he does. He wants us to know the parameters. This, like I said, this is not a matter of him being able to do this or that to you. It's a matter of you acquiescing to what he will do because he knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for other people. Don't be selfish and this is all about me. I lost my job or I got sick or somebody died in my family. It's not all about you. Maybe it's about like the person that died, or maybe you lost your job because, hey, just maybe you were not performing well. Then there's other folks who the bottom falls out because of downsizing or something like that. Okay, now prudently we have to go get another job. God closed the door. He's going to open another one. We got to look at it like that. Just not lament on whatever's going on. We got to have faith in him. This is the God who appears and speaks out of tornadoes. This is the gospel today. You know, because this God who, like all up in Job's face, well, now we have Jesus, you know, he calms the storm. I'm sure that's what most people are hearing about today, how God, Jesus calms the storms of your life, and he does. But it's even more than that. If you know, like, the Job story, and that's not the only place with the tornado thing, Ezekiel, Zechariah, you know, all these prophets, that's how God shows up a lot. He shows up like that. You got to understand that our Lord, in this whole boat, for one thing, you got the Job story about God in a whirlwind speaking and scaring everybody. And then you got the boat. And what comes up? A mighty wind in the waves. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything by accident. He wants you to get. But whereas in God spoke out to Job and corrected and humiliated him, you have Jesus stands up and calms the wind. This shows the reconciliation power of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to scare you and speak out of this storm. I'm going to show you that I can calm the storm. Whereas you were at enmity before with God, and you should have been scared by him, but now I, God, am telling you that things are reconciled now. This is that peace. Now I'm sure glad he brought peace. And then immediately, what does he do after he calms the wind and the waves? Well, he looked at his apostles and he said, come on, guys, I'm gracious and merciful. I would never let anything happen to you. No, not what he said. Why were you afraid? Have you no faith? He's in their face, just like God was out of the world. I've calmed the whirlwind, but I'm going to get up in your face about faith. You obviously have none because you were scared. Well, what? We were scared because, you know, the wind was coming and we thought we were going to drown. Yeah, everybody dies sometime. You need to have faith in me that I will either protect you or get you through whatever you're dealing with. It's about faith. Job is about faith. The gospel is about faith. This is a very encouraging thing. We just have to see this. God doesn't care if you ask why. Like the last time I looked, our Lord Jesus Christ himself my God, why have you forsaken me? He does it when you feel like you're going to curl up and dry because of life circumstances. Yeah, okay. Just rely on me. Keep your eyes on me. Be anxious for nothing. But when that doesn't mean not worry about things, because like our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, that's a prime example. Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. I don't want this to happen. It's overwhelming to me, like to the point of sweating blood. And what does he say then? But not my will, but your will be done. Faith in that God will provide for him and his humanity to get him through this. This is what this is about. So, you know, when we're confronting these situations in life where God is testing us, we're getting the exam, we need to answer just like Job does when we reach that point where we've questioned, we've asked why, and things we're not seeming to get answers. We needed those few times that Job answered, what can I answer? Who has spoken inconsiderately? I lay my hand on my mouth. I'm just going to shut up and rely on you. This is true faith in Father and Son, Holy Ghost.